Crazy man, what's in your catch a fly?
I didn't know you had one of those machines.
I don't need all these arms see anymore. I keep it for the occasional touch-up.
Well, wouldn't it be easier if someone else did it, like an actual tattoo artist?
I am an actual tattoo artist. I did a lot of these myself.
How'd you...
Ambidextrous.
Of course you are.
Can I interest you in some ink of your own? Syringe with a line through it, perhaps, in honor of your former career as a sober companion?
I think I'm good, thanks. I wanted to plan something for your anniversary. You're going to be 1 year sober in a few days. They're going to give you your 1 year chip at your next meeting. It's a big deal, Sherlock. You should be proud.
You've been talking to Alfredo. He's been hounding me about my soberversary for weeks now.
Well, of course he has. He's your sponsor.
Which is why I have not had the heart to tell him I have absolutely no intention of accepting that chip.
Well, why wouldn't you accept it?
It is absurd to measure sobriety in units of time. It is a state of being. One is either in it or out of it. In my case, I am in it. Permanently. Amassing a collection of cheap plastic discs seems infantile. Unless, of course, I could trade them in for a prize. Brood of sea monkeys, perhaps.
Sherlock.
You are an ex-sober companion. It is no longer your calling to nag me, police me, or reproach me. And if I require your opinion with regards to my sobriety, I will ask for it.
You are right.
Huh. Alfredo, your ears must have been burning.
Hope I'm not calling too early. But I'm with a friend. I think he could use your help.
Sherlock Holmes and Joan Watson were here to see Ken Whitman.
My dad. He said he was coming by.
I'm quite good.
Eva, thanks. Dad's in the den, just down the hall.
Told you when I met you that I had a great sponsor. This is him. The only one in the group willing to take a chance on a half-reformed ex-car thief.
Alfredo said you were in trouble.
2 years ago, Eva used a fake ID to get into a club in the city. A man named Brent Garvey slipped something into her drink. He took her to his apartment. The next morning, she told me and her mom everything. We took her to the police and they found Garvey. She picked him out of a lineup.
Brave girl.
After Garvey was charged, two other victims came forward. He ended up cutting a deal, pled guilty for a reduced sentence. Technically, it was over.
But not for you and your family.
For Eva, it was hard. She cut off contact with her friends, stopped playing, even tried to hurt herself. We found her therapist. Things got better. She said she might even be ready for college next year. And then, a few months ago, I got this in the mail. It's a video of Eva with Brent Garvey. The night...
Mr. Whitman, you will transfer $10,000 to the following account, or this video will be posted online and released to the media. Your daughter will be a star. Do not go to the police. Do not attempt to identify me if I'm arrested or physically harmed in any way. I have a fail-safe in place, an associate who will release the video for me.
Eva had come such a long way. I didn't want to see her get hurt again.
So you paid the $10,000?
I didn't even tell my wife. I just did it. But then, a few weeks later...
They asked for more money.
I paid again. The third demand came a few days ago. I finally lost it. Came close to falling off the wagon. My sponsor was out of town, so I reached out to Alfredo. I just needed to talk to someone. But then he told me about you. He said you might be able to help.
I have a particular disdain for blackmailers. They are, in some respects, more despicable to me than even murderers. Miss Watson and I will find the person who has been targeting you, and we will also find their associate. Then we will destroy every trace of this vile recording.
You think he's the blackmailer?
A tech expert in London traced the account number on the note to that man and this address, Charles Augustus Milverton.
He certainly looks the part. Just surprised how easy it was to find him.
Well, he's obviously confident in the protection that his failsafe affords him. I'll assess the threat he poses and attempt to divine the identity of his accomplice. Once both individuals are known to us, we will destroy their blackmail trails simultaneously.
Another reason to dislike Milverton.
He keeps cats.
Well, he should get himself a real pet, like a beehive. Do you see anything?
Laptop. He could have used it to burn the DVD that he sent.
What's happening?
Ken Whitman said the man who assaulted his daughter took two other teenage victims as well, Tracy Bender and Karen Pistone. There are videos of them here as well.
You think he's blackmailing their parents?
Others.
Others?
It would seem Mr. Milverton is a professional blackmailer. I'd estimate that his victims number in the dozens.
He's back. He must have just gone to get some groceries. He's heading for the door.
Could have specified back door, Watson.
Wait outside, he's coming to the front.
I'd like you to take a look at something. Then I'd like you to join me in the conference room.
You want to tell me why you asked me to look at what appears to be the brutal rape of a teenage girl?
I thought it was important you understand what was at stake. The man in that video is Brent Garvey. He was arrested in New Jersey several years ago. Convicted of sexually assaulting three young women. Eva Whitman, Tracy Bender, Karen Pistone. Eva Whitman's father received that DVD in the mail, along with a note which demanded that he pay $10,000 or see it released on the internet. Now, I identified the blackmailer earlier this evening. I went to his home. I realized that he had sent similar threats to the parents of Miss Bender and Miss Pistone.
So you're here to turn over the evidence?
It's possible that I am here to report a murder. Or perhaps I'm just here to seek the counsel of an investigator that I respect and admire. Hypothetically, the blackmailer was killed in his home tonight. Hypothetically, I saw it happen.
Holmes, if you know anything about a murder, you gotta report it.
There will be consequences. The hypothetical blackmailer had a hypothetical accomplice. That accomplice, upon learning of his partner's death, would release that video and others into the world. That is, of course, if the accomplice learns of his partner's death.
So you want to keep it a secret?
It would give a motivated investigator enough time to identify the accomplice, prevent him from enacting any offending fail-safes.
Obviously, you want to find the accomplice more than the killer, but what if the killer is the accomplice?
Then all roads lead to Mecca. Blackmailer is foiled, and the killer is caught. All in one fell swoop. You have daughters, do you not, Captain?
So?
Captain Gregson sees the wisdom in keeping Milbert's death a secret for now.
Well, I've been listening to the scanner since I got back, and there are no reports of gunfire or break-ins in Milbert's neighborhood.
Did you reach Alfredo?
Yeah, he said he would stay there as long as we needed him to. He'd let us know if anyone came by.
What about the materials I took from the dead man's desk?
Well, they're bills mostly. There's some receipts. I did find this. If it's some sort of ledger.
Records of payoffs from Milbert's victims, probably.
How are you doing? You saw someone get murdered tonight. You said you never got a clean look at the shooter.
Large man, approximately 6'2", 100 kilograms. His features were obscured by a mask. His scent by the cat urine and kitty litter in Milverton's home. Even if I had reported the crime, I would not have had much to offer. It's hard not to imagine that the killer was one of the people Milverton was blackmailing, but the captain raised the possibility that it was his accomplice. Either way, our goal remains the same. Find the failsafe before he can release any salacious material.
Well, if the killer was one of Milverton's victims, why wouldn't he be worried about the failsafe kicking in?
Well, it's possible that he solved whatever problem Milverton was taking advantage of. The failsafe would mean nothing to him. Unfortunately, it still means a great deal to Milverton's other victims, the parents of the three young women raped by Brent Garvey, for example. I've arranged to pay him a visit in the morning.
Garvey?
What if Garvey was the accomplice Milverton entrusted his failsafe protocols with?
He's in prison, how could he...
All you would need to release those videos is access to a smartphone or a computer. Neither, I'm sorry to say, is impossible to come by in lockup. If he is not the accomplice, perhaps you can tell us who is. Mr. Garvey? I'd heard that victimizers of children had a rough time in prison. It's really nice to see that it's not just a rumor.
Who are you?
I'm Holmes. This is Watson. We consult for the New York Police Department.
This is about the guys who jumped me. I already gave their names to the guards.
We're here to talk to you about Charles Milverton.
Before you say that you've never heard of him, be advised. We come fresh from a conversation with your warden. We know that he paid you a visit here several months ago.
Yeah. He's friends with my dad. Came to see how I was doing.
Is that why you gave him your collection of rape tapes?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I've seen the tapes, Garvey. I have one in my possession. I'm very seriously considering telling your friends here about them before I leave today. Maybe they won't wait to find you in the yard next time. Maybe they'll pay you a visit in your sick bed.
We know you gave Milverton the tapes. We just want to know if you have access to any of his other blackmail materials.
Other materials?
Milverton had an accomplice. Someone who would put forth his materials in the event of his untimely death or incarceration.
The failsafe, yeah. Yeah, I know. He told me all about him when he came to see me. He said if I went to the police and I told them he was blackmailing me, his partner would release the tapes.
Blackmailing you?
I didn't give him the tapes. I had him in a storage unit. When I got arrested, I couldn't keep up with the payments. Contents went into auction. Milverton put in the highest bid. Said he bought old units all the time. Got a lot of dirt that way.
Let me guess, you have a parole hearing coming up?
I'm sorry, but I can't help you. I'm not in on it with these guys. I'm just another victim.
So, what's the verdict on Garvey?
Well, as far as rapists go, it would appear he's an honest one. After Milverton's initial visit to him in prison, he sent a series of emails to his parents begging for loans. The dates of those emails correspond to payments made in Milverton's ledger. So, Milverton was blackmailing Garvey, and Garvey was paying.
We're still going to tell the police about the videos before his parole hearing, right?
We will discuss the matter with the three girls' parents at the appropriate time. The decision will and should be theirs. In the meantime, we will stay the course and attempt to identify Milverton's accessory.
Before he finds out that Milverton is dead. Got it.
I found something in his ledger. He makes regular outgoing payments to someone with the code name Henry 8.
You think that's the accomplice?
The payments are consistently 10% of whatever Milverton has coming in. Seems like a reasonable rate for a blackmailer's assistant. That's Alfredo. Someone's at Milverton's door.
He's gone. Right after I texted you, he hopped into a cab. Tried to tail him, but I lost him in traffic.
Description?
Tall, 6 feet maybe, fat. Gray hair, mustache, suit and cowboy boots. It's weird. Something about him.
Something like what?
Seemed familiar, like I knew him or something.
Any idea from where?
Maybe I saw him in a meeting, or maybe I stole his car back in the day.
He said he was wearing cowboy boots.
Yeah.
What matters is that your eyes beheld him, which means his image was transmitted to your posterior parietal cortex. So, once we regress you, you'll remember every detail, including where you know him from.
What me?
Regress you. Normally we would use a sensory deprivation chamber, but in the absence of that...
You want me to get in there?
Yeah.
You grew up in New York?
Well, yeah.
You watch late night TV?
Of course.
Is this the guy you saw?
That's him. Come on down and see Sheriff Duke.
You're looking for justice and money. Come on down and see Sheriff Duke.
Charles Milverton. Sorry, name doesn't ring a bell.
That's funny, Sheriff, because you were seen knocking on his door in Staten Island this morning.
Can you prove that?
No. Nor can we prove that Milverton was your client, or that he left certain materials with you and told you to disperse them should certain fates befall him.
See, this Milverton guy is a client. The law would proscribe me from discussing him with you in any way. So now, if you'll excuse me...
Duke Landers, Esquire. I take it the title refers to your law license as opposed to your birthright as the eldest son of a knight.
What are you doing?
Yeah, thought so. This paper is £24 stock as opposed to the £80 favoured by most institutions. Watson, I added several terms on handwriting analysis to your reading list the other week. If you've properly absorbed them, you'll find the signatures of both the Dean and the Board President most interesting.
Florence Costello and Martin Faber. They have the same Danilian capital Fs.
That's because they were written by one person attempting to mimic two different styles. The certificate from the Unified Court System looks a bit dodgy as well. Perhaps I should give him a call, see if you're actually licensed.
I know him, okay? I know Charles Milverton, but he's not my client. If anything, you could say that I was a client of his.
Explain.
A few years ago, I got him off a DWI charge. He said if any sensitive information came across my desk that he could use it to make some money for both of us. Just so we're clear, that's all I did.
That's all.
Hey, I'm not the one that was supposed to disperse materials if something happened to Charles. That was someone else.
You're a liar. Who lies?
Charles never told me his name, but I know that he's out there. Charles used to call him his failsafe.
We'll need everything you have on Milverton, and I do mean everything.
Lots of evidence that Duke Landers is even scummier than we thought. We had nothing helpful on Milverton's accomplice. How are you doing with the Are those sobriety chips?
I ordered a set online yesterday, had them shipped overnight. I wanted to see what all the fuss was about. Colors are a bit garish. Yeah. More appropriate to a successful first year as a Vegas showgirl.
Have you been playing quarters with these?
I didn't drink anything once, and I just wanted to see them bounce.
I don't believe you.
Smell my breath.
I'm not talking about the drinking. I'm talking about what you said yesterday about me not weighing in on your sobriety.
What?
Listen, if you want to talk about your feelings about your one-year chip, I'm here.
You were asking if I'd found anything. The answer is, maybe. 2 years ago, Charles Milverton referred a client to the sheriff. His name was Abraham Zellner, a morbidly obese man who wanted to sue an airline for removing him from a flight. Zellner was the only client Milverton referred. Earlier, we were theorizing that Henry VIII was Milverton's accomplice. Henry VIII, as I'm sure you're aware, was the fattest monarch in British history.
So you think Zellner was his accomplice and that Milverton gave him that code name because he was heavyset?
Orson Welles was heavyset. Abraham Zellner could pull small moons out of orbit. Captain, what is the first thing that comes to mind when I say Henry VIII?
Herman Charmitz? Listen, call came in a little while ago from a night watchman at a construction site. He saw some suspicious activity. The responding officers found a perp trying to dump a corpse into some wet cement in the building's foundation. The victim was shot 3 times in the chest. Perp claimed he did it because he was being blackmailed. Some hypothetical bells obviously went off.
Was the victim's name by chance Milverton?
First name Charles.
The culprit didn't by any chance confess to being his accomplice, did he?
No. His name is Anthony Pistone. His daughter is Karen Pistone, Brent Garvey's second victim.
Yes, he was being blackmailed too.
Yeah.
And his attorney's already spreading the story to the media. So I'm afraid the news that Charles Milverton is dead is officially out.
I got the first blackmail note 9 months ago.
It came with a DVD. Hearing about it when it first happened,
that was nothing compared to seeing it. I swear, if I could have got my hands on Garvey
Anthony,
that day.
Let's try to stay on topic.
I did what I had to do. I paid.
It wasn't easy.
My brother and I have a contracting business. Work was slow. But no way was I going to let that tape get out. I thought that would be the end of it. I was wrong. A few weeks later, I get an email.
Same threat, same demand.
So how did you find Charles Milverton?
He emailed me again last week. Asked for more money.
I wrote him back and said I had it, but it was in cash. Said I'd borrowed it from a friend who runs numbers. Couldn't deposit it in a bank without raising a red flag. I left an envelope under a park bench. When he came to pick it up, I followed him home. A few nights later, I broke into his back door. Shot him. Grabbed his body and his laptop and took off.
Where's the laptop now?
Smashed.
I stomped on it and tossed it in some dumpster.
I understand there was some post-mortem damage done to the victim's face.
Well, you guys came at me tonight.
I realized I couldn't get away.
I looked down at Milverton. And it was like he was looking back at me. Like he was laughing. I snapped. Lifted my boot up and just...
He's got enough face left for an open casket.
It's more than he deserves.
It's the guy you saw the other night, right?
The man I saw was wearing a mask. The height and weight are correct.
Usually I feel so good when we got a killer dead to rights.
The man is an idiot. He's put all of Milverton's victims, including his own daughter, at risk. For all we know, the internet is already flooded with their secrets.
I'm not saying I agree with what he did. I'm saying I sympathize. The guy plays his cards right. The DA won't ask for more than manslaughter in the first. He'll be out in 3.5 years.
Thorns, went to that address you gave me. The one for the guy you thought was working with the dead blackmailer, Abraham Zellman.
Tell me you have him in custody.
The address wasn't a residence. It was a butcher shop in Chinatown. It gets worse. Can't find any record of the guy in the NCIC or the DMV database.
None.
Sorry. I know you thought it was a lead, but as far as I could tell, the name's a fake.
The brownstone is on fire. My bees have escaped, and there is a giant comet headed for Manhattan.
Excuse me?
The way the evening is going, I thought you could only be calling with more good news.
I don't know what kind of news this is, but Alfredo is here, and he thought we should know that his sponsor just got a new blackmail demand from Charles Milverton.
What do you think it means?
Henry H.
You think his accomplice sent it?
As Milverton's failsafe, he would be privy to all aspects of the operation. He possesses the same programming material that Milverton did. Instead of exposing it, as he's supposed to,
he's using it to take over the business.
Milverton's murder's been all over the news for hours now. Henry VIII knows, doesn't care. I can't recall the last time I was so thankful for the essential avarice of the human condition.
You happy about this?
Milverton's plan has backfired. His failsafe has shirked the duties for which he was hired, which means that for the moment, the secrets of Milverton's blackmail targets are safe. Abraham Zellner, as it turns out, was a pseudonym, but I still think that the fat man represented by Duke Landers is Milverton's accomplice.
You're going to open up Landers' files again?
Only did we have at the moment, so yes. But not before tea. It's going to be a long night. Thank you, Alfredo. You've been most helpful.
Hey. Want to check in with you about tomorrow before I go? We're going to a meeting. You're getting your chip.
Yeah. About that, tomorrow's not really good for me.
Well, you're working. I get it. But your day is your day, man. I promise. It'll only take a few minutes.
Look, Alfredo, it's not the case. It's the chip. I can't accept it. I know that to most addicts, it's a treasured token. It's a very tangible representation of their hard work and determination, but I'm not most addicts. To me, it does not commemorate a period of success, but rather the end of a period of great failure. I failed when I abused drugs, and I would really rather not be reminded of that fact.
Sorry, that's how you see it. You know what I wish you got? Milestones like this one, they're yours, but they're not about you. They're about all the people who haven't got there yet. They see you do it, and they think, why can't I? You know, I know it's hard, but one of these days, you gotta get over yourself.
I believe I've uncovered the real identity of Henry VIII. It all starts with the corpulent Abraham Zellner. It was an assumed identity used for the express purpose of an obesity discrimination lawsuit. When the airline that Zellner sued made its first lowball offer of settlement, he accepted, probably because he knew that his false identity would not stand up to scrutiny. This started me thinking, what if he'd done it before?
So you think he sued other airlines?
Airlines, theatres, restaurants. To the professional fat man, these businesses are a veritable deep-fried buffet of nuisance lawsuits. Each one with a lucrative stream of income. I delved into the records of similar lawsuits filed on the East Coast and focused only on those that resulted in quick go-away payoffs. Do you notice anything unusual about the names of these plaintiffs?
Abraham Zellner, Brad Yates, Corey Xavier, Declan Winchell.
The initials. AZBYCXDW. They represent a pattern.
First name starts with an A and moves forward. The last name starts with a Z and moves backward.
I believe they were all assumed by one man, the same man that Charles Milverton refers to in his ledger as Henry VIII.
That's great, but it still doesn't tell us the real name.
Nope. But it did help me find photographs of the plaintiffs
in two of the nuisance suits.
One appeared in a Queen's newspaper regarding the complaint of an Ethan Varner against a tanning salon whose beds could not accommodate his prodigious girth. 4 years ago, the rotund Stuart Bloom sued a Cineplex in Dover, Delaware for excessively small seats. He received a $50,000 payoff.
This is the same man. Stuart Bloom does not match the pattern.
It does not, because I believe it was his first lawsuit.
Do you think that's his real name?
Abraham Zellner may not have a DMV record.
Stuart Bloom most certainly does. He lives in Staten Island.
Mr. Bloom!
It's so dark in here. What is it?
It's cat litter.
I don't think this is put down for cats. I think it's put down to absorb odours. Very strong odours.
Gregson meets Stuart Bloom, a.k.a. Henry VIII, a.k.a. Charles Milverton's accomplice.
Looks like he's been here about a week.
Look, the bruise pattern on his chest.
Is that a boot print?
Obviously, the killer caught him unaware as he drove his head beneath the water.
The body was too immense to remove, so rather than dismember him, Milverton left behind a decade's worth of cat litter to cover the stench of his decomposition.
Wait a minute, you think Milverton did this? Why not Anthony Pistone? He killed Milverton. He would have motive to kill Bloom too, no?
The bruise on Bloom's chest suggests the shoe size between a 6 and an 8.
Milverton was a 7. Mr. Pistone, a 12. Also, the cat litter spread about all over the place. It's the same one that Milverton has in his home. I recognize the scent quite vividly.
We think if you run the credit cards, you'll find that he purchased an unusually large amount of the stuff a couple of weeks ago.
Any idea why Milverton would kill his partner in crime?
Bloom won the race.
I think the more pressing question, in my humble opinion, is this. If Mr. Bloom hasn't taken over the blackmailing business, then who has?
Oh, this is a surprise. I would have thought you would have covered this wall with evidence by now.
I did. I took it down. Put it back up again, took it down again.
Not helpful, I take it.
I've been through it all, so have you. Need new data to move forward.
I will take another look at it. Before I go to bed.
You were right about the sobriety chips that I ordered. I was trying to get a rise. I was trying to spark a conversation. I told Alfredo that I could not accept my 1 year chip because it would conjure memories of a period of failure in my life. That's not true. I cannot accept my 1 year chip on my 1 year anniversary because it's not my anniversary.
Are you saying you relapsed?
It was a while ago. It was before I met you. The day after I agreed to enter into rehab, as a matter of fact. I had realized that my father was right. I needed to repair myself. So, disposed of my drugs, and, destroyed my paraphernalia,
Next day, I entered Hendale. Day after that, I got sick. And, very sick. So I devised a way to leave without being detected. I got what I needed. Returned. Yeah. And that was the last time I took drugs. Not the day before.
Sherlock, I understand why you're upset. But we're talking about the difference of one day. It does not change what you did in the 364 that followed.
I decided to stop using drugs, yes? I decided, me. And then 24 hours later, it sounds like a mere detail, but I'm a man of details, and it matters to me. So I know that I need to tell Alfredo, but it's proving difficult. And it just doesn't seem right to tell him before you.
What is it?
Charles Milverton's autopsy report, which I would happily consider new data were it not for the fact that I was there when he was gunned down.
Hmm. What?
Oh, when you said that Anthony Bastone stomped on Milverton's face, I assumed it was all over, but according to this, it's just damage to one side.
And they're gone.
What are?
His scars. There's a patch of them here. Very distinctive. Almost as though Pistone has targeted them.
Mr. Pistone, such a pleasure to see you again. I was so glad to hear that you made bail this morning.
Thanks. My attorney said you had some more questions for me before I go home.
Yeah, remind us, when did you first identify Charles Milverton as your blackmailer?
A few nights ago, like I told you.
We now have reason to believe that you actually crossed paths before that.
Charles Milverton was savagely beaten 4 months ago. He had to go to an ER. He said he was mugged, which is why the responding detectives took photographs, but we think he lied.
He gave varying descriptions of his mugger to the police. The doctor who treated him chalked that up to concussion, but we think it was more than that. We think that he couldn't tell the real story.
Which was that you found him and beat him until he surprised you with an offer that you could not refuse. Piece of his blackmailing business.
So these gashes. Left temple. Now these wounds bear a striking resemblance to the emblem on your ring. Milverton was left with these scars. You knew this. So when the police closed in on you 2 nights ago, you trampled his face in an effort to obscure them.
You want to guess how many of these are out there?
It's interesting that you failed to mention the other night that Karen is not your daughter, but your stepdaughter.
According to your neighbors, you two fight a lot.
You found Milverton months ago. You intended to punish him, but he offered you a piece of his operation in exchange for his life. You needed the money. You took him up on his offer.
Charles Noah had two partners. His fail-safe, Stuart Bloom, and you. Someone had to go.
Milverton murdered Bloom. Maybe you put him up to it. Maybe he did it of his own volition. Either way, I suspect 50-50 split is not enough for you.
These are theories, Captain. You're going to need proof.
I agree. Which is why we conducted a thorough search of your client's business and home this morning. We found this laptop at his office.
It's Milverton's.
You told me you smashed it, threw it in a dumpster.
Funny thing is, we didn't find it in your desk, but in your brother's. He's already confessed to being your partner. the Stuart Bloom to your Charles Milverton.
He was the one who sent Ken Whitman the new demand for money when you were in police custody the other day.
So it looks like you'll be spending a few more decades in prison than you thought.
Hey, change your mind?
I have not.
What are you doing here? You okay?
There's something I'd like to discuss with you.
Hey, I didn't hear you come in.
You know me, stealthy as a shadow.
How'd it go with Alfredo?
Liberating, as you predicted. I'm lucky to have him.
Look at the time. Happy real anniversary.
Regardless of the actual start date of my sobriety, I still have no interest in public celebrations, speeches, encouragements, or the bestowing of chips.
I know. Found it at a secondhand store. It's dark. It's not just for anyone, but I thought it was very you. I just wanted to let you know that I was thinking of you.